Father, we honor you and bless you for being so wonderful and so good to us.
Thank you.
Clearly, you are Lord and you are God. So we open our hearts up to you, Father. Speak, Lord, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, and we will follow your instructions. For we need you today. Some of us need you so much. But we all need you. Not just speak, but manifest yourself in a very powerful, clear way. Some need guidance. Some need clarity and confirmation. Some just need to know you and know you better. So, Lord, meet us, your people, today at our point of greatest need. We thank you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Could you open your Bible to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 5. Malachi, chapter 4. And I'm going to talk to you and share a bit with you about when God favors you. Say, when God favors you. Now say, when God favors me.
When God favors me.
By the way, we should become accustomed to expecting and believing and experiencing the favor of God in your life.
Amen.
But when we talk about one in particular aspect, when God favors you, what triggers that? Here in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5 it reads, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Sound a little kind of challenging there about the dreadful day of the Lord. It's talking about when Jesus comes and God really corrects things in the earth. When God created the heavens and the earth, the way it is today, it wasn't the way it is today. And the way mankind lived his life, it wasn't God's plan to let man live their life without God. That's why he sent ministers like myself to preach the gospel so people can have this opportunity to find Christ.
Amen.
But at the end of this age, God will, if you would, make a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes.
And Jesus will come before then to bring his people to ever live with God. So there's a time when that comes. But in the meantime, we as individuals have something to do. And this is what he talks about in verse 6. And he will turn the hearts, this man of God, Elijah. Now, Elijah is a very specific person. But it could be any minister that ministers along these lines, like myself. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And you may not realize it, but the challenges in the earth, a lot of the human problems, the wars, the rebellion, sometimes some of the demonstrations, it's not that we can't sit down and reason together. I'm upset and mad. And part of it is this lack of father-child restoration in relationships.
Amen.
And that God will use the minister, the man of God, to help turn the hearts of the fathers first back to their children.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hearts of the children's heart back to their fathers.
Yes.
It is a work of God how that takes place. Because of the deepness of the hurt that too often men cause in children's lives. And likewise, when children, maybe even when they're small or get a little older, they start hurting their fathers too. And saying things and doing things. And so now there's a rift. But that's not the purpose of God. The blessing of God, God's favor, cannot manifest in our lives when there's not restoration between father and child relationships. I recall it was probably back in the early 90s. My wife and I, we've always talked about my father. I didn't grow up with my father. I grew up without a father at all. My mom's a single parent. My father was married to my mom, but he got divorced. And then he went on and had another family, got married again, had another family. They lived outside of Chicago in a place called Rock Island, Illinois. In fact, we had to take a little train from Chicago to get there. You have that old television program called Petticoat Junction? And had a little train. I'm thinking, where am I going? In the country, where am I going? So that's where he lived, okay? Well, anyway, when I finished college, I went to visit my father. And for the first time, I saw him. I lived my life without connecting with him at all. I may have talked with him one time, possibly on the telephone, but that was it. He sent me a book, by the way. That was nice. So anyway, I went to see him because I was interested in my father. And when I went to see him, I went to his house, spent the night, and his wife was not there. And most of his children, he had five children at the time, were there, except one went to Italy with his wife. And so what happened was, then I left, and it was a nice relationship. I thought it was good. But then one day after I started this church, my wife was challenging me about, call your dad. I said, yeah, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm cool. Call your dad. Because I had the number, you know. And what happened, we had a secretary in our church that we started talking about her background and my background. And she asked me about my dad. And I told him his name was Frank Nelson Smith. Where do you live? Outside of Chicago. I babysitted for him. What? And so she got the hookup, hooked us back up. And so I was able to connect back with my dad. So that was a nice connection. My wife said, call him again, call him, connect with your dad even more. And finally I did. And we went out as a family to visit my father in Rock Island, Illinois. I took my sister with us. And that was a nice visit, nice experience. And then he came out here and came to our church dedication. And then he moved out here, which is really nice, able to interact with him more. And then some years later, he passed away. And me and our church were family, were able, and our kids were able to connect with him and honor him properly when he passed away. So I was able to really spend a good 6 or 7, 8 years with my dad before he passed away. And I began to minister more about this father-child relationship. And what I did not know and understand that what God was really up to, I started speaking like I'm doing today, giving a Father's Day message, and I couldn't stop. I had to teach it again next Sunday. Teaching in Bible study next Sunday. And I just kept on. I started unpacking. And I started looking at the scriptures more closely, how God wants to turn fathers first back to their children, their heart. Say heart.
Heart.
Now, why would God want to turn the heart of the father back to the children if his heart wasn't somewhere else? Could be his job. Could be, other things. Doesn't mean that he doesn't also love his children, but it could be that he's not really connecting with them and really relating to them and minister to their personal emotional needs like he should. Maybe he doesn't know how to. But takes the man of God, say the man of God.
Man of God.
That means it's not so much like me, the man of God. It's the anointing, it's the Holy Spirit's working through me, people like me, that makes it happen. Teaching and talking about the need of a father in our lives.
Yes.
And then he says, turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. In fact, there was a lady came to our church with her daughter, and we were at the high school at the time, and so she had some problem with her daughter. Her daughter was sneaking out, running away with these boys and stuff. She'd be like 15, 16 years old, and so mom was having problems. She came to the office, and we started chatting. I said, step out for a few minutes. Let me talk to your daughter by herself, because I began to get better understanding about this whole father-child relationship restoration. I asked her one question. I said, how is your relationship with your father? She began to cry and boo. Oh! I said, calm down. Here's some Kleenex. Go ahead, cry. And then she said, my dad don't have no time for me. My dad is always gone. He had a multimillion-dollar business. He was very involved in it. And she felt abandoned. And she wanted the love of the dad. He'd come home. He'd go right to his room, never talk to them, never say hi. And so she was kind of hurt behind that, and so she looked for love in the wrong places. The boys in school. Are you following me? And so what happened was that, please follow me. This is about father-child restoration. And so what happened was I said, your dad's a businessman, right? Yeah. I said, make an appointment. He gets that. Make an appointment. Because, she's trying to find time. Make an appointment with your dad. It was powerful. See, notice he said, maybe the dad's not there. He's out. He's head somewhere else. The child can go and reach out to the father, even an adult one.
Amen.
Let God talk to you today.
Amen.
Because there's a favor of God's blessing on the father and on the child if they get into a more harmonious relationship.
Amen.
You see, God is a father.
Yes.
And he created man. So some of his kids don't know him. They're outside the family. He sent his son to redeem mankind, to restore. And the Bible calls that giving us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
So in God's mind, that's where the blessings lie.
Amen.
God as the Father don't want his children and people that are not outside of his family. He wants them to be part of his family.
That's right.
It's like we want that same thing biologically.
Amen.
And so she restored her relationship with her dad. I called him and said, you know, sir, you don't know me, but I finished talking to your wife and your daughter, and I began explaining some details. And I said, you about to lose your daughter, man. Never met him before in my life. I start fathering him, if you would.
Yes.
You about to lose your daughter. And I began explaining. And guess what? He's at church next Sunday. Joined our church, became a powerful father and husband, and really worked out the situation because he responded to her heart toward him. Are you following me?
Yes.
Don't get, well, he's the oldest. Just respond. Just reach out. Say reach out.
Reach out.
Got to start somewhere. And then I started teaching on this one Sunday again on a Father's Day. And so I kept going on a Bible study. And so this lady came, you know, she's about mid-30s. She had a little attitude. Pastor Ed, she's the last one. She went to the last one and asked me the question. Pastor Ed, what is all this stuff about this fathers anyway? My mom is a single parent. She raised me. She had a house. She's doing good. I'm doing all right. What's all this stuff about anyway? Yeah, that's how she did it. Yeah. And kind of caught me off guard. And then Spirit of God said, say this. I said, who said it's all about you? Shut her down. She walked back. Okay. It was about a week and a half later, she came back and began explaining to me, God began to deal with her heart. And she said, Pastor, my mom got pregnant in high school, in senior year, and my dad never knew, I found out. They shipped girls off oftentimes to other states when they got pregnant. Come on, talk to me. That's back in the day. They did stuff like that. And so he didn't even know he got her pregnant. They had a one-night stand, and that was it. She got pregnant. So he didn't know. So she began through this ministry and teaching. The anointing will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. Her case, the heart of the child back to her father. She realized, did a little homework, even though her mom wasn't helping her out with too much information, she didn't know. So she went back out to Houston and got an idea what area his family was and lived. And she went knocking on this door with a grandmother. And then she met her. She said, baby, you look like one of us. Come on in. You my grandbaby. Well accepted. Called her son, met her dad. He was happy. Met her brothers. They were happy to have an older sister. Yeah, wow, it's powerful. Her father came out here. We got it on video about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago. He came out here, got restored. He was happy to be reunited with his daughter. He didn't even know she existed. Now, obviously, in many cases, they do know. But there's an opportunity. Say an opportunity.
An opportunity.
My point is how God favors you when you begin to align with his purpose for your life, which is restoration of father-child relationships. I know it's been hurt. Come on, I understand. But you can't let us keep you there because it's going to keep you in a place where you cannot prosper where God would have you to prosper. You cannot go to the places. God has a plan for your life.
Amen.
But it requires a relationship with your child or with your father. Okay. God is so into father-child relationship. Mankind cannot fulfill the purpose God has for his life until he becomes a child in reunion with God.
Amen.
And he becomes their father.
Yes.
Did you say, without me, you can do nothing?
Amen.
So in spite of the pain and the misunderstandings and the harsh words or the distance, you know, I haven't talked to him in a while, a little uncomfortableness, that's why we need intercessors to help us out sometimes to kind of stand in the gap.
Amen.
As I began to teach in this area, one of the young ladies in our church, she reached out to her dad. Her mom didn't want to help out. She finally looked him up. Ladies, don't stand in the way. You want to be blessed? Don't stand in the way. You want the favor of God blessing in your life? Don't get in the way of your children reaching out to their father.
Amen.
And, you know, don't trip and say, well, he don't want me. You know what? Just go with somebody else, okay? That's your child's father. So you want the blessing of God. It's about the favor of God. It's about your life. in the life of your children. And so this area of restoration is huge.
Amen.
You see, it's not easy to be a father. And we're not perfect. No one's perfect. We're striving to do better. And that's what God wants us to do, to do better. Say, do better.
Do better.
But to do better, we got to put in the work.
Yes. Amen.
And we're here to encourage the men. Some men don't have children. But you can be a father like one. Or you do have children. You can be a father and a father like one to other people.
Amen.
Because that's also needed. You got to need to share the love. Mm-hmm. And that can be somewhat of an awkwardness sometimes. You bring in, you always got somebody coming by the house, you know. Okay, you have time for private time, but then you share because there's such a need. God shares his love.
Yes, he does. Thank you, Father.
God shares his love. I would like to have asked Danielle Martin to come share. She shared a word that God gave her about her father, and it's very, very powerful. I believe you'd be encouraged by it. And she shared it at the Father's Day breakfast yesterday. So let's receive Danielle Martin. Danielle Jelps. Danielle Jelps.
Good morning, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I shared this in the first service, and I was explaining that my father passed away when I was 8 years old, and I didn't really know him. And just like Bishop Ed said earlier, he said that I can't remember what he said, but he had said something about writing your dad a letter. And the importance of fathers. And I was like, this is kind of like a letter because it was so therapeutic. And I explained that I had a dream about my father and he was alive. And I was so surprised. And I was like, wait, you're alive? And he was just walking around, just doing things normally. And I grabbed him and I said, why did you leave me? And then I woke up. And what I realized was the importance of the role of a father. And I became thankful for God as my father and my spiritual father, Bishop Ed, who has been an extension of God's voice in my life. And I was able to write a poem from the place of understanding because I believe because Father God has been a father to me that he allowed me to have the understanding of my dad. So this is my piece. A father is a void that no man can fill. A father is a little girl's heart sketched in the pockets of possibilities. A father is a voice that will never go silent even when it's mute. A father is a knight to a girl's kingdom. He protects her heart. A father's smile can break 1,000 curses gunning you down. A father's grace can erase every insecurity and put pain away. If my father was alive, I'd tell him to keep dreaming because when he dreams, he gives life to things like me. I tell him, he made me a fighter because I fought through years of not having him. I tell him that he never left my mind, so we stayed together just like he prayed. I tell him, I'm sorry. Sorry for all the pain that he didn't deserve. I tell him, I felt it every day for the last 26 years of my life. I tell him, I never expected him to be perfect because I wanted him to relate. I tell him that I never judged him. He was everything I needed. I would tell him I'd climb Mount Everest if I knew it made him proud. I tell him I would stand the coldest storm if I knew he was on the other side. I tell him he taught me years of lessons with no degrees because no one could teach him how to be my daddy. I tell him that I'm a fighter because I got his genes. I tell him I searched for him in every man until I found me. I tell him, it's okay that you didn't respond when I asked you, why did you leave me? Though it was a dream, you taught me love because love died for me. I tell him, no matter if I'm 30, 50, 60, I'll always be his baby girl and nothing could ever change the fact that I'm yours. I tell him, I was sent to love him and my birth could right all his wrongs and make him remember that he's loved. I tell him, when I looked in his eyes, I didn't see him, I saw me. So if your father is still alive, tell him.
Amen.
Awesome. 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 How we think about our father-child relationship determines how we experience the favor of God's blessing.
Yes.
It's how we think about it. Yeah, I don't need to call them. I don't need them. Think about some of the authority issues people have with anybody asking them or even telling them what to do. As, you know, you're the boss, or you do this, do that. That's the root of that is a fatherless issue. And if we don't learn to address it and address the hurts, in other words, we grow out of it. Say, grow out of it. You grow closer to God. You learn how to do better. Again, we men are not perfect, but we can do better. And many good men in this church and many good men are around who are fathers and father-like ones, coaches. I think about my basketball coach, or football coaches, and track coaches. These men impacted my life as a young boy. They were fathers. My older brother was a father-like one. He would whip me and get me straight and stuff. But I appreciated it later. He was a father to me. The discipline I needed in a single-parent household. I'd like to ask my daughter, Naomi, to share from her perspective. She shared also at the Father's Day breakfast, kind of surprised me. But I believe it would be appropriate to hear her as well, and my son Joshua.
Amen.
Good morning, Zoe. First, happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. I know many times it's expected that you guys step up, but just because it's an expectation does not mean it should not be rewarded many times throughout the year. So happy Father's Day. Second, I want to acknowledge my mom and my dad, because it's hard to acknowledge one without the other. They really complete each other, especially in parenting us. And I wrote this. It was kind of last minute, but I wrote it because I wanted you guys to hear how I feel about my dad. Many of you know him as pastor, bishop, teacher, counselor. And, you know, I'll be 30 in September, and I've seen my entire life this man. And so this is just a glimpse of what I want to say about that. What is it like to be bishop, pastor, father, husband, brother, son, mentor, teacher, educator, nurturer, leader, missionary, founder, CEO? My dad holds so many titles and executes them so well. When I think about my dad, I think of all of these things and wonder how. How is it you've lived this life under complete submission to God and people? It's hard enough to be a man that walks in complete integrity with God, but to also be used to be of service to people as well. It's a wonder you're still smiling. People think that being a pastor is so glamorous, and to some pastors or bishops, it may be all about the title and the perks of the spotlight, but to you, it's always been a platform to change the minds of people from their own will into God's will. You have dedicated your platform to helping people become a better version of themselves, rather be in their finances, their relationships, their careers, their purpose, and most importantly, their relationship with God. Some will never understand what your sacrifice looks like because you've made it look so easy. But having integrity and not compromising, I'm sure, has cost you some friendships, some family relationships, maybe some business deals, and I'm sure the list could go on. You're forced to live what some may consider an isolated life. But to those who understand your calling, know that it's about protecting the calling God has on your life, no matter the cost. You've managed to put God, your family, your legacy, your reputation of integrity first, and at times putting personal aspirations aside, and that, Dad, is what a real man and a loving father does. For a man that didn't grow up with a father in the home, you have fathered 4 children, 3 grandchildren, and have been there for us every step of the way. You have been there for us for games, whether it be flying to Philadelphia to see Aaron throw that football, plays, graduations, dances, seen countless speeches from my brother here, Dr. Joshua Smith. And trust me, you have a very talented and active involved group of children, so it must have been quite a bit. But somehow you've always managed to be there. You make those phone calls, you get us the best education, you have supported our ambitions without pushing your calling upon us, but still exposing us to the things of Christ. You allowed us to make mistakes and challenge us to work hard to create a legacy for ourselves and our kids and the future of this world. We were raised in an environment of love, kindness, forgiveness, integrity, hope, encouragement, fight, drive, and an overwhelming feeling to make good changes in the careers and the environments that we have chosen to fulfill our purpose in. For a man that grew up in an environment where it was applauded to have several women at a time, to cheat on them and not value them as you should, you sure did do a complete 180. The way you are with my mom has been like experiencing a real-life romance novel. I've always observed closely your relationship with mom, and if I had to choose a word to describe it, it would have to be commitment. You are committed to loving her, growing with her, committed to better understanding her even through your differences. You love my mom to her core, and even though you didn't see that kind of love and commitment growing up, you endeavor to reach new heights in that love and commitment for her every day. Someone told me recently that if I choose a mate that isn't the right mate, it will be my own fault because you, my father, have set such an example. There will never be an excuse, and I would agree, no excuses. I am going to wrap it up because I could go on and on about my dad. I know so many people think very highly of you because of what you've done for them or maybe the example you set for them, but for me, it's different. I think highly of you because I see who you are. I know who you are. And there isn't a man on this earth that can take your place to what you represent to me and the example you set for me every day, the path that you continue to pave for me, my brothers, my mom, and your grandchildren. You, sir, are my hero, and I love you to my core. Happy Father's Day. I love you, Dad.
So that's a hard act to follow, so I'm not going to try. I'm just speak from my heart. But, Dad, I'm proud of you. I love you, and when I think about you, I think about how much I've admired you, and, you know, I have kids, 6 and 3, and I remember when I was Josue's age and just seeing you as a leader and being proud that you're my dad. And without realizing it, showing me how to be a black man in a professional space. I didn't realize till I became a professional what it means to be the first, the only, or one of a few people of color, black people, or black man in that space, and the kinds of things you have to do. And what I've learned from you is, you know, you can be in that space and you don't have to have a title. But you can get things done. You don't have to take no for an answer. If you need something, somebody's not doing something right, you can ask for the manager. Mm-hmm. You can dream. You can walk with your head high. And you realize sometimes it's more threatening to walk around with the suit than it is with a hoodie. Because I saw you didn't have a problem looking people in the eye and telling them exactly what you meant and meaning exactly what you say. And, you know, I just, as I look into my own professional space, there's just not many people who walk around with that kind of poise and confidence. And I've had that all my life. And I just appreciate the the people you've exposed me to because of your relationships and friendships. And that's rare. It's very rare. And a lot of people I know with my skin color, they're culturally anemic. Wow. And it's normal for me to walk around with my head high, and it's because of you. Wow. So thank you.
You may think about, I don't have a family like that. First of all, we're not perfect. We have a good family, good relationships. But you can work on it. You become a kind of father. You can learn from your mistakes. You do better when you learn better. Jesus says, learn of me. But we got to put in the work. We can't treat God and the church and the Bible as being a part of a social club. Amen. Like a fraternity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Either you're all in or you're not. Yeah. It's like any good relationship. You work for a company. Are you in or not? You can't come here just once a month. And God is no different, but he got a plan for all of us. Amen. We can learn how to be good men, good women, and love one another and impact this nation, starting with our families individually. Amen. Josh and Naomi, thank you. And Danielle, thank you. Amen. You spoke to my heart. I trust it spoke to you. I had my children share because they wanted to share. And I did it publicly because I think it's appropriate. Amen. Too often we preachers keep stuff quiet. Mm-hmm. We keep it private. I'm public because I want to give you a window into my life. Amen. The good and the bad. The missteps too. Mm-hmm. There's no wings on my back. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be afraid to let God use you.
Amen. Amen.
Make mistakes, ask God to forgive you, and get back in the saddle. But we got to put in the work.
Yes.
Take courage. When God spoke to Joshua after Moses had passed on, God told him 8 different times, be of good courage. He was a warrior. Now go get the land Moses couldn't get because he messed up, whatever, he didn't get into the promised land. But you could go get it for your people.
Yes.
We need more Joshuas.
Yes.
More father Joshuas and father-like one Joshuas to make a difference. See God with our heart consistently. We put in the work and we grow. Say we grow.
We grow.
Watch this video.
It's not easy. If it was easy, there'd be no Kerry Washington. If it was easy, there'd be no Taraji Henson. If it were easy, there'd be no Octavia Spencer. But not only that, if it were easy, there'd be no Viola Davis. If it were easy, there'd be no Michael T. Williamson, no Stephen McKinley Henderson, no Russell Hornsby. If it were easy, there'd be no Denzel Washington. So, keep working, keep striving, never give up, fall down 7 times, get up 8. Without commitment, you'll never start. But more importantly, without consistency, you'll never finish. Ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. Ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. So keep moving, keep growing, keep learning. See you at work.
God is looking for a few good men and women willing to put in the work. I know we want to have a better life, and God provides a better life, but it's work. It's work to get married and be married, stay married, develop the marriage, but it's worth it.
Amen.
And with God's help, we can do it.
Amen.
Father's about legacy. It's not just being married only, it's about the legacy of the children and those that we influence. Mm-hmm. But without God's help, we tend to drift and come and fall short. And I'm appealing to why every head is bowed and every eye closed, please. Every person given the privacy that they need to make a decision. And the believers are praying softly. This was not, at this latter part, was not designed at all to brag or what have you. My children, my wife will tell you I'm not perfect. Those who work with me in the ministry, they'll tell you I'm not perfect. But my heart is to serve God and do the right thing. And I've grown. I'm going to keep on growing. Maybe you're here today and you say, I have not come into the family. Well, that's where you begin. Being part of God's family, there are entitlements. You have rights, access. They're called promises of God. God is, the whole Bible is referred to as a contract. The biblical term is called a covenant. God has, if you would, wrote the scriptures a contract to you. But the contract does not apply to anyone who's not voluntarily come into the family of God. It's really that simple. So that's why we have a church and churches and we have a Bible to learn so we can understand the agreement. Not that we twisted God's hands to give it to us. God on his own gave us a contract. He says, in case you question my faithfulness to you, I got it in writing, and it is a contract, it's a covenant. You receive my son, you have life, and life more abundantly. You begin to grow in the knowledge of my will. You can have this life that you can only dream about. Without Christ, Jesus says, without him, you can do nothing. He's a son. If you say yes, you know deep down inside, men and women, God has more for you. Even as a woman, you may say, yes, I'm looking for a godly man like you was described today. He's here waiting on you to step up. If you say, yes, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to be part of the family of God, or recommit your life to the family. Maybe you're in the family. Maybe you're mad at God. Maybe you strayed away. Maybe you're just taking God for granted in some areas of your life. Whatever. You recognize I need to get more focused, get more determined to walk with God. No matter whether you're 70 or 17, I want you to gather your belongings, come to the front. I want to pray for you right now. Be bold and come get what God has.